I wonder how many of you are familiar with the story of the Lone Ranger and Tonto. All right. Okay, the Lone Ranger is going across the plains with Tonto. And as they're going across the plains, a group of Indians begin to attack from the north. And so Tonto asks the Lone Ranger, what are we gonna do, Kemosabe? Because these Indians attack. So the Lone Ranger says, well, they're coming from the north, so let's go south. So they turn around and go south. But then a group of Indians attack from the south. So Tonto asks the Lone Ranger, what we do now, Kemosabe? Lone Ranger says, well, I guess now we got to go east. So they go east, but a group of Indians attack from the east. So Tonto says, what we do now, Kemosabe? He says, well, there was only one way we can go. We got to go west. So they go west. When they go west, a group of Indians are attacking from the west. So now they're boxed in, north, south, east, west. So now the Lone Ranger has a question. Because he turns to Tonto, and he says, Tonto, these are your people. And so the Lone Ranger says to Tonto, What are we going to do now, Tonto? Tonto say, what you mean we, pale face? It's easy to change when the going gets tough. And you want to know why that I bring up that story? What's that got to do with Jesus, okay? And what does it have to do with Caesarea? Well, an amazing event happened in Caesarea in Scripture. Caesarea, of course, located on the Mediterranean, was a major port city in the Bible, and a major event took place that relates to us and relates to what's happening in our world today. And as I go through our different teachings, I want to try to not only relate it to where we are physically in the nation of Israel, but where we are as a people and where we are in our contemporary situations in which we live. As you can see, politically, socially, racially, there's all kind of divisions in our nation. And these divisions are not unique or new to us. They were true in biblical days. They were different, but they were very much real. But we're told in Acts chapter 10, the book of Acts chapter 10, an event took place that would bring to light how Jesus wants to address this division that we are facing in our world today. In Acts chapter 10, verse 1, it says, now there was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort. So in Caesarea, the environment where we are now, was a Roman soldier named Cornelius. To make a long story short, I would encourage you to read the whole chapter of Acts 10 to talk about this event, but I'll summarize it for you now. An angel comes to Cornelius. Cornelius is a God-fearer. He's a worshiper of the Jewish God, of the God of Israel, even though he's a Roman soldier. And as a worshiper of the true God, he got an illumination, and an angel comes, and an angel tells Cornelius, I've heard your prayers. Go to Joppa. There's a man named Peter, and summons him. Well, Peter is in Joppa. If Peter was a soul singer, if they had soul singing back in Peter's day, his favorite song would be Say It Loud, I'm Jew and I'm Proud. Peter was a super Jew, okay? And that is pointed out for us in this chapter because while Peter is in Joppa, you remember Joppa, that's where Jonah went to run from the Lord. While Peter is in Joppa, Cornelius sends some people, the angel tells them to go to Peter in Joppa. Well, it says in verse 9 of chapter 10, on the next day, as they were on their way approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. So Peter goes up to have devotions on his rooftop. And he became hungry and was desiring to eat. And while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. And he saw the sky open and objects like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in them all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean." Again, a voice came to him a second time, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." So Peter was a pure, kosher Jewish man, and he was not used to mixing things. He was a Jewish segregationist. That's how he was raised. He said, "I have never eaten anything unclean. I have stuck to the law, and I've stuck to the separation of clean versus unclean." But God uses food to teach him, once I tell you what to call something, don't you call it something else, and I don't care how you were raised. I don't care that this was how things were as you grew up. Because he said, this is not how I grew up. This is not how I was raised. He says, but I am now adjusting dispensations. Let me just put a parenthesis around that. A dispensation is an administration. Like when one president goes out and another president goes in, the new president brings in a different administration. Now, some of the laws from the old administration carry over, but then he seeks to change some of the rules in the new administration for how he wants to run things. When Jesus Christ came on the scene, there was a shift from the old covenant, Old Testament, to the new covenant, New Testament. There was a change. But they had to be led to understand this change. Well, Acts chapter 10 says that now the men show up who were sent by Cornelius to find a man named Peter. So when these men show up, they go to Peter's house. Peter went down in verse 21 to meet them, says, "Behold, I am the one you're looking for. What is the reason that you've come?" They said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by the holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you." So now Peter goes to Caesarea, the environment in which we're in, verse 24. On the following day, he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he called together his relatives and close friends. And when Peter entered, Cornelius met him, fell at his feet, and worshiped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am just a man." And he talked with him, and he entered and found many people assembled. And then he goes into a gospel presentation. He talks to him about Jesus. And when he talks to him about Jesus, watch this, opening his mouth, verse 34, Peter said, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality." Verse 36, "The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." And then they got baptized. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the concluding verse, verse 48, "And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. So let's follow this story a little more deeply. Oops. That's my life floating away. Y'all ain't gonna hear nothing else all week long. Thank you, thank you. You're a great man, you're a great man. So let me talk about this now. Peter has not been used to associating with Gentiles unless he had to. The Holy Spirit, which is really the theme of the book of Acts, the work of the Spirit of God through the apostles, shows Peter this is a different day now. And you're going to have to learn to relate to people you're not used to relating to. You're going to have to learn to fellowship with people you know very little about in an intimate way. You know them because you have to, not because you want to. And he says, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to understand when I say something, when I say don't call something something regardless of what you're used to, you are now to change your language and how you now relate to other people who are different than you. And so he goes to Cornelius's house. He shares Jesus. And the last verse says he stayed there 2 days. He wasn't even used to fellowshipping with him, and now he spends the weekend with him. He does that because God commanded it, not because that was his background, his history. Until Christians are willing to let Jesus' word overrule how they were raised, we will never see the unity in the church. And lack of unity in the church means there's going to be lack of unity in society. Because God checks with Christians. He checks with the church house before he deals with the White House. And I know today there are different political persuasions, different orientations, different races, different backgrounds, but there's one Jesus. And Jesus wants to have the last word. Now, after you read Acts chapter 10, tonight I want you to read Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 to the end of the chapter. Now, let me summarize that for you. Peter has now been told in Caesarea or in Joppa, going to Caesarea, you can eat anything. He then found out that them Gentiles know how to cook. Because he is now eating with the Gentiles in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. He now can eat stuff he's never eaten before. Because remember in Acts chapter 10, he says, I've never tasted those unclean animals. So now he found out how good pork chops are. He found out how good pig feet are. Chitlins, neck bones. He's at the soul shack. I mean, he's just eating up a storm now, okay? Because he's eating with the Gentiles. But a problem shows up. Some of the Jews sent from James come and challenge him fellowshipping with the Gentiles after this Cornelius event. So he heard from Jesus in Acts 10, but he starts listening to people in Galatians 2. And when his own race shows up, it says, Peter, being intimidated by the circumcision, the Jews, pushed himself away and stopped fellowshipping with the Gentiles so that he wouldn't offend his brothers in the flesh, the other Jews. Now, a mist in the pulpit is a fog in the pew. So it says, the rest of the Jews who were with Peter eating pig feet too, they got up and removed themselves with Peter because Peter was leading the way. It says even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. Not my boy Barney. Come on, not Barnabas. Barnabas is known as the son of encouragement. But that's how bad racism is. It'll make a good man bad. It says Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. Barnabas was born in Cyprus. Cyprus was a Gentile colony. So he was raised with Gentiles, went to school with Gentiles, played ball with Gentiles. But he got so tricked by the culture that he gave up his Christianity to satisfy his brothers in the flesh. Now, you can imagine how the Gentiles felt. You're good enough to eat with me until your race shows up. But when your race shows up, you now leave us as though our Christianity doesn't mean anything. Now, Peter and the Jews would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for one thing. Paul wanted some pig feet too. So Paul shows up. And Paul says, when I saw what Peter did, I condemned Peter before them all. Now, here's where this is going. In Acts chapter 10 in Caesarea, Peter welcomed the Gentiles into the family of God. In Galatians 2, he is letting the culture separate them. Okay? Paul comes, and guess what he tells Peter? He doesn't get into a cultural argument, a racial argument, a political argument, a class argument. He brings up the word of God. And he says, Peter, you have offended the truth of the gospel. The good news is that faith alone in Jesus Christ brings people into one body. You are segregating the one body illegitimately, and you have now embarrassed the gospel. Far too many Christians have allowed the gospel to be embarrassed by race. God wants there to be racial differences. Heaven will be filled, according to Revelation 7 and Revelation 5, of racial differences. Whatever color you are now will be the color you are in heaven. So if you're Anglo now, hanging out in the sun, not going to change a thing. You're going to stay Anglo. If you're African-American now, stop putting that cream on your face. You're not going to change, okay? Whatever you are now is what you will be in heaven. Those differences were always there, but they are never to be first in your life. Your commitment to Jesus Christ and the gospel must always be first. In fact, it's not correct to say you're a black Christian or white Christian, because then you make black and white an adjective and you make Christian a noun. The job of the adjective is to modify the noun. So if you've got your color in the adjectival position and your Christianity in the noun position, you got to always change the noun of your Christianity to fit the adjective of your color. Your Christianity must always be in the adjectival position. Your race must always be in the noun position. So if anything changes, it's the noun of your humanity and not the adjective of your faith. Your Christianity must always be first. So he tells Peter, Peter, you've messed up. The gospel that you preached to Cornelius in Acts 10 is not the gospel you're living right now with these Gentiles. And the divisions that we have in our country is because far too many Christians are messing with the gospel. We'll tell if Jesus is good enough to take you to heaven, but that same Jesus will keep us divided on earth. And that's messing with the gospel. Paul says that, Peter, you have defined yourself incorrectly. My favorite verse in the Bible is Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. It's Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, that's one of the great verses in the Bible. But what a lot of people don't know is that verse is a part of this Peter story. This verse comes at the end of Paul confronting Peter about him leaving the Gentiles. So what Paul is saying in giving Peter Galatians 2:20 is that you are confused, Peter, about who you are. You are now to be identified with Jesus Christ and to measure everything by its relationship to Jesus Christ. If it's out of alignment with Christ, I don't care what color you are, what politics you are, what class you are, what background you are to be a Christian first. And whenever you confuse your humanity with your Christianity, you are just your humanity, not your Christianity. And when the Church of Jesus Christ will take seriously the message of Acts 10, don't call unclean what I call clean. Peter, you go to Caesarea and you welcome in the Gentiles and let them know by faith in Jesus Christ, they're part of this one family. But then you don't make them Christians and then become something else in Galatians 2. You stay identified with Jesus Christ. You stay related to him. And if we would then relate to Jesus Christ across the things that are not natural to us and let that be the defining thing in our lives, then we will find out what the unity of God can do, not only in the church, but how it can roll over into the world so that we can see the effects of Christianity on society. Much that is wrong in our world is because Christians haven't stepped up to the plate. And if we will step up to the plate, we can begin to see God do some amazing things. I said on a taping I did before you got here, when I eat sandwiches, my wife knows not to put mustard on it. I'm a mayonnaise guy. I'm not a mustard guy, okay? So I love my mayonnaise. But a lot of people don't know what mayonnaise is made of. The fundamental ingredients in mayonnaise is oil and water, but oil and water don't mix. See, oil and water will always separate when you try to put them together. If you mix them up, they'll stay together for a minute, but then they'll go and separate again. So in order to have oil and water create my mayonnaise, an emulsifier has to be introduced. Emulsification is the process of taking things that can't naturally connect and bringing them together. So in order for me to have my mayonnaise sandwich, eggs have to be introduced to oil and water. And when you put an egg with oil and water, the egg reaches out and grabs the oil, the egg reaches out and grabs the water and pulls the two together so I can get my mayonnaise sandwich. Well, your background and your background may be oil and water. Your race and your race may be oil and water. Your Democrat and Republican may be oil and water, but Jesus is the emulsification. And when you put Jesus in the mix, stuff comes together, and you will discover when Jesus is in the middle, he is like my mayonnaise sandwich, good.